Now, today I'm going to talk to you about how your words affect your future. In Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, in a vision, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the skirts of his train filled the most holy part of the temple." That's speaking about the glory of God was filling the temple. "And above him stood the seraphim, angels, and each had six wings. With two they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who cried, and the whole house was filled with smoke." Now that looks like a pretty awesome event, doesn't it? Angels and the glory filling the temple and smoke and angels crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." "And then said I, 'Woe is me, for I am undone and ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" I love that when Isaiah was in that awesome presence of God, the one major thing that he was convicted of was that he was a man of unclean lips, that he said a lot of things that he shouldn't be saying. And I believe that we should have more conviction in that area probably than what most of us do. And the only way that's going to happen is by hearing teaching like this and studying ourselves in this area so we realize how important words are. God created everything that we see with words. Words have creative power, but they can also carry destructive power. "Then flew one of the seraphim, the heavenly beings, to me, having a live coal in his hand, with which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity and guilt are taken away, and your sin is completely atoned for and forgiven.'" Is anybody here today glad that even when we recognize sin in our life, that God can come and cleanse us from that and give us a brand new start? So there are times, probably several times a year, when I'm praying about my mouth and I will say, "God, send one of those angels from your altar with a coal of fire and cleanse my lips, forgive my iniquity, and give me a fresh start." "And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" I remember even when I was still in my denominational church that I went to for a long time, we had Mission Sunday once a year, and they would talk about missionaries and sing mission songs. And before I ever really fully realized, long time before I realized that there was a call of God on my life, I remember lifting up my heart to God on Mission Sunday and saying, "Here I am, God, send me, send me." I wanted to do something for God. But he definitely had to do a work in my mouth before I was able to do it. "Here am I, send me." Verse 9, "And he said, 'Go and tell this people.'" Now, what I get out of that is Isaiah was being called as a prophet, and he was going to be speaking to a lot of people. God said, "Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah wanted to go. But when he came into the presence of God, the one thing that had to happen was his mouth had to be cleansed before he could go and use it in God's service. And I want you to take this seriously today, because many of you have a call of God on your life. It may be to do some kind of public speaking. It may be to carry a strong anointing and be a witness in your school, in your neighborhood. But we all have the call of God on our life. Everyone who is a Christian is anointed with the Holy Spirit, and that means you're set apart for a special purpose. You're not your own. You belong to God. You've been bought with a price. Amen. God needs you. But we have to get rid of the mixture in our lives. In James it says, out of the same mouth we bless God and we curse men. Well, I want my words to have power when I speak to you. My words have to be strongly anointed if I expect you to sit there and listen and even come back again and again and again and watch the TV program day after day after day. My words have to be anointed. And my words are not going to be anointed if I'm trying to preach the Word of God when I'm in public, but behind closed doors at home, I'm using my mouth for a lot of other ungodly purposes. So I am pleading with you today to take this seriously, because God needs you. He wants to use you. He wants to increase the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit on your life, but you need to cooperate with Him. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said in verse 12, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And then in verse 13, it says, "Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while at work in those who believe." What does that mean? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, we don't work for our salvation. We know that. We're saved by grace and not by works. When you're saved, God does a great thing in your spirit, in the deepest part of your being. God comes to live, and you're born again, made new. You're made holy in that inner part of your spirit. That's why the Bible says you are holy. We are holy. Now we have to learn to live a holy life. And after the new birth, after you receive Christ as your Savior, you spend the rest of your life, just like I'm spending the rest of my life, growing in God, working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Or a better way to say it is to get it from the inside of us to the outside of us, where it can be seen. People can't see my spirit, but they can hear what I say. People can't see my spirit, but they can see the way I behave. They can see the way I act. They can see my body language. They can hear my voice tones. They can feel whether I'm lifting them up or putting them down. God is calling us to be bright lights shining out in a dark world. Amen? So I plead with you to study this more after you go home, because I believe that hearing someone else preach is only one level of learning. And in some ways, it may be the very basic bottom level of learning. I heard so many sermons and listened to so many, back in the early days, cassette tapes. Went to every seminar, had so many books and so many teaching series. I lived in church meetings, and my life was a mess, an absolute mess. I was hearing about the promises of God, but I didn't know how to make them work in my life. And one of the things that I learned along the way was that I needed to take what I had learned and go to God with it and ask Him now to put it together and make it work in my life. Don't think that I can fix you. God is the only one that can fix you. I'm teaching you truth, and I believe that the gift of teaching is very important. Hearing an anointed message can definitely change your life. But what it usually does is it renews your mind, and you go to God and you ask Him to make that information revelation in your life. And trust me, when something becomes a revelation to you, last night I gave you information about the dangers of complaining. And you know, some were getting it and some were kind of like, oh, can this really be that important? I can kind of tell how people are receiving. And you believed me, but if you're not careful, you could leave here and forget all about it and just go on complaining. But I'll tell you what will happen. If you will go home and you will study yourself what the Bible says about complaining, then it's going to drop from here to here. And the Holy Spirit is going to, and ask Him, God, bring conviction on me when I'm saying things that are damaging my life. Bring conviction on me when I'm saying things that are hurting you, hurting your cause, hurting other people. I think a lot of times in our own rush to do our own thing, we hurt people with our words and we're not even aware that we're doing it. We have to slow down and be more careful about how we live and how we talk to people. The first area that I want to talk to you about today that can affect your future, because your words do affect your future. You literally can prophesy your future if you want to. How many of you have some things that you want to see happen in the future? You need more increase in the future. You want to carry a stronger anointing in the future. How many of you want to have more favor in the future? You want to be promoted in life in the future. Well, God wants great things for you. The Bible clearly says that He has a good future planned for us. But it won't just happen automatically. Just because God plans something doesn't mean that it's an automatic. It means that He's telling us what His will is, and now He wants us to cooperate with Him. We're partners with God. He always does His part if we will do our part. Now, the first thing I want to talk to you about is, in order for you to live fully in the wonderful future that God wants you to have, you have to learn how to talk about yourself and how to talk to yourself in a right way. What you say about yourself, to yourself, and to other people is possibly one of the most important things in your life. Because guess what? You are never going to progress beyond your own opinion of yourself. How many of you say negative things about yourself out of your own mouth? Well, stop it. I'm serious. Don't do that anymore. That is a dangerous, dangerous thing to do. You better go read Psalm 139 and see what God thinks of you. He created you in your mother's womb with His very own hand. Wonderful are your works, O God. That my soul knows very well. So if you're going to say anything, you say, God has created me wonderfully. He has done an amazing thing in me. Now, obviously, you don't need to be going around saying things like that to people, but let me tell you something. You can talk to yourself out loud in the privacy of your home, your automobile, and if you don't start, you're making a big mistake. You talk to yourself anyway, you might as well say something that's worth hearing. So, let me just ask you a question. What do you think would sound better? Take a few minutes every morning, maybe write them down on what I call a confession list so you don't forget them. A couple times a day, get your list out. God loves me. I'm growing daily. I am anointed. I'm blessed. I have favor everywhere that I go today. I bear good fruit. Something good is going to happen to me today, and something good is going to happen through me today. God promotes me in life. I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. God is not mad at me. God is pleased with me. He doesn't like everything I do, but He knows that I'm growing and I'm on my way. I am a blessing to other people. All of my needs are met. Now, when you talk to yourself like that, when you say something, the words float right around here, they get in your ears, fall right back down into your spirit. You need to learn how to talk to yourself. If you learn how to talk to yourself right, it won't make any difference what anybody else says to you or about you. Amen? I had a woman ask a question the other day. She was part of an audience where I was doing a teaching, and we were letting them ask a few questions. And she said, what do you do if you're married to somebody who constantly puts you down? Well, obviously, first you're going to pray. You are going to try to have a conversation with them about it, but if that does no good, then you can negate everything that they say to you by just going in another room somewhere and saying the exact opposite. I am full of wisdom. I am God's child. He loves me. I am wise. I do many things right. I am gifted and talented, and I am loved by God. You can undo the effects of things that have been spoken to you in your childhood that were detrimental to you by saying what God wants you to say. My father told me for years that I would never amount to anything. You'll never amount to anything. You blankety blank, blah, 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 blah. You'll never amount to anything. Well, you know what? What he said over me was affecting me until I learned how to say what God said. There's no word that's powerful than the word of God. There is nobody's word that is more powerful than the word of God. So who are you going to get into agreement with? God or people? I want you to listen to me today with your two ears on your head and your two spiritual ears. What I'm telling you today is the absolute truth. I can prove it to you in Scripture, and I am a living evidence that confessing the Word of God out loud, getting into agreement with God's plan for your life with your mouth, will make some of the most amazing changes in your life that you have ever seen. So don't be lazy about it. Well, I'm going to feel funny just walking around my house talking to myself. Well, would you rather be feel funny or be destroyed? Or then, I guess if you wanted to, you could talk like this. Nobody loves me. I'm a mess. I'll never change. Just a big goof up. Everything I do, something wrong. It's always me, always me. I have no special abilities. I don't do anything special. Don't have any gifts, no talents. Nothing good ever happens to me. Nobody likes me. I always get left out of everything. I'm the tail end of everything. I'm so undisciplined. I just have no self-control. I procrastinate all the time. I just can't make decisions. I don't hear from God. I never get promoted. I'll never have enough money. Well, I mean, you can all tell that's wrong. You're even glad for me to shut up. You can almost feel it, just like... So it's up to you. No, you need to say, I have discipline and self-control. I don't procrastinate. I'm a person of action. I hear from God. I'm led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't believe that you can just get anything that you say. So I'm not talking about the name it, claim it doctrine that everybody's had a fit about. Yeah, it's one of those name it, claim it preachers. But I'm telling you that you can have whatever God says you can have. Not what you say you can have, but what God says you can have. And if you don't get an agreement with God, then don't expect to have what He wants you to have. If any two of you on earth agree as touching anything, it shall be done for you. Just get in agreement with God. See what happens in your life. I started out the scripture out of Luke chapter 1. Where Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth had never been able to have a child, and they were old in age, and they'd been praying, and an angel came to them and said, okay, it's going to happen. You're going to have a baby, and he's going to be great. Elizabeth was about to become pregnant with John the Baptist, who was the forerunner for Jesus. And so this angel prophesies to them and prophesies to them, he's going to be called great, and he's going to be a forerunner for the Messiah, and on and on and on and on. And so Zechariah says, well, now, how am I going to know this is true? I'm an old man, and my wife's an old lady. And the angel said, because you will not believe, God is going to supernaturally shut your mouth, and you will not be able to speak until the day that the child is born. And there's such a lesson there, because Zechariah could have messed up the whole plan with his doubt and unbelief. So God just supernaturally shut his mouth. Well, we could probably all say, well, I wish he would supernaturally shut mine. Well, you might not like it so much. He didn't get to say anything at all for 9 months. I would rather learn how to say what's right and get to keep my voice. There's a lesson there. How many of you see that lesson? Doubt and unbelief, negativity, doesn't get us the will of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and verses 3, Paul said what I think is a very interesting thing to the believers in Corinth. And by the way, these believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. They operated in the gifts of the Spirit, and yet they still were immature. So operating in the gifts of the Spirit doesn't necessarily indicate spiritual maturity. Just thought I'd throw that out in case you think you're the gifted one. Verse 1, however, brethren, I could not talk to you as to spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual men of the flesh in whom the carnal nature predominates, as to mere infants in the new life in Christ, unable to talk yet. The Amplified brings out that Greek definition, unable to talk. He was telling them, you don't know how to talk. Well, obviously they knew how to talk, but what Paul meant was you don't know how to talk right. You're saying a lot of things that are indicating that you're spiritually immature, so I have to keep preaching to you like babies. I can't give you the meat of the word. I have to keep giving you milk. God wants us to grow up. And he wants us to become spiritually mature. He wants us to know who we are in Christ and not let the devil boss us around all the time. He wants us to know when the devil's lying to us and be smart enough to say, "You're a liar, it is written." And quote the word back, just like Jesus did in Luke chapter 4. In Ephesians 6, it gives us pieces of armor for spiritual warfare. And one of them is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it says in Ephesians 6 that we are to wield the sword of the Spirit. That means get it out, speak it out of your mouth, and use it. The word spoken out of a mouth of faith is the thing that is more powerful against Satan than any other thing. What have you been doing with your mouth? What kind of things do you say when you've got problems? How do you talk about yourself? Let's look at Hebrews 5, verse 12. For even though by this time you ought to be teaching other people, you actually need someone to teach you over again the very first principles of God's Word. Now, what is the problem if somebody has been sitting in church 10, 15, 20 years, and they still have to be told to be careful about their words? What's the problem when somebody's been in church 20 years and you still have to convince them that they need to give and give generously? What's the problem when somebody's been in church 20 years and you're still having to tell them, don't be jealous, don't gossip, don't be critical, don't be judgmental? Paul's saying these are all things that should have been settled a long time ago. Thank you. Right there was a little information that became revelation. I can hear it every once in a while. I was like, But we have to get rid of the mixture in our lives. In James it says, out of the same mouth we bless God and we curse men. Well, I want my words to have power when I speak to you. My words have to be strongly anointed. If I expect you to sit there and listen and even come back again and again and again and watch the TV program day after day after day, my words have to be anointed. And my words are not going to be anointed if I'm trying to preach the Word of God when I'm in public, but behind closed doors at home, I'm using my mouth for a lot of other ungodly purposes. So I am pleading with you today to take this seriously, because God needs you. He wants to use you. He wants to increase the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit on your life, but you need to cooperate with Him. Words carry amazing creative power. Let's look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So think about the rain and the snow. They come down from heaven, they water the earth, and it's that that makes that seed sprout and produce good fruit. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without producing any effect and useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So that tells me that when I speak the word of God out of my mouth, not my words, but the word of God out of my mouth, it waters the seed that I have planted by the different activities in my life, and it makes it grow. For example, if you're going to be a diligent tither and a giver, then be careful how you talk about your finances. If you've got seed planted in the ground of God's kingdom, then don't kill your seed by saying negative things about your financial future. I'll never get out of debt. I never have enough money. I can't afford anything. No, you say, I tithe and I give, and God takes care of my needs. I am the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I lend to many nations, but I never have to borrow. Now, you guys can think that this is impossible if that's what you want to think, but I know that it's not. I have a confession list right here that I made back in 1977. Before I ever heard anybody preach on this, I was a very negative person, and God told me to stop being negative. And after 6 months, I said, well, I've stopped being negative, but nothing's changed. He said, well, you haven't started saying anything positive yet. It's not good enough just to shut up. You need to say the right thing. Amen? And so nobody ever taught me this, never heard a preacher preach on this, never read a book on it. And God led me to make a confession list, back everything that I was going to say up with Scripture and begin to confess it out loud twice every day. One of the things that I started saying way back then was, I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I lend to many nations, but I never have to borrow. That's in Deuteronomy 28. And amazingly, God has given us this worldwide ministry where we preach through television, 2/3 of the world, outreaches all over the world, offices in 18 different countries, and we have never paid 1 cent of interest. Everything that we've ever gotten, we've paid cash for. Now, somebody might think, well, must be nice for you. Well, you know, you weren't there when I was walking around in my house when I still didn't have any money and I was buying all my kids' clothes at garage sales, and I had never had any kind of a speaking opportunity at all. I just was a broken up, messed up woman who'd been abused, and I was believing God and trusting Him to bring healing into my life, and I felt like I had a call in my life to teach, and I was teaching one little Bible study with 25 people in it. Well, you weren't there when I would walk around in my house and say, I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I lend to many nations, but I never have to borrow. I can't even imagine the money that's been saved and been able to be put into the kingdom work by God giving us the wisdom to save and do it this way. And I'm not saying it's wrong if you have to do it another way. I'm just telling you that I believe that that's a fruit of all those years of confessing that scripture. One of the things that I had on my confession list, and this was when my children were little. I mean, these were, when I started confessing these things, none of them were true. None of them. And I felt like an idiot. Everybody loves me and I love everybody. People couldn't stand me and I didn't like them either. Here, this was a good one. My son David, who's my oldest son, has a sweet personality and he's not rebellious. I actually rejoiced when that boy left home at 18. Well, now he's the one that's over in Africa right now setting up our next outreaches. He runs the World Missions Program. You need to be careful what you say about your children. Oh, you'll never amount to anything. You can't do anything right. Stop that. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Don't you ever look at one of your kids and say, you're a bad boy. That's a bad boy. No, you say what you did was bad, but you are good. You are good. You are full of good things. You tell your kids you can do anything through Christ who strengthens you. You teach them that they don't have to compare themselves with anybody else, that they are special and they have abilities from God. You teach them the things that maybe your parents did not know how to teach you. My daughter Laura, she's the one that was here last night. I said, my daughter Laura operates in godly wisdom and discipline, and she's full of energy. She was the laziest, sloppiest. I mean, I had more fights with her over the messes that she would leave laying around. Well, now she helps take care of me. You better start saying some right things over your kids, even while it's not yet happening. You can call those things that be not as though they are. We serve a God who speaks of non-existent things as if they exist. Stop calling everything that is as if it's always going to be that way and probably get worse. Well, this is never going to change. You're never going to change. I'll never have any money. I'm trying to, sister. I hope that you can see what I see in my spirit for you. But this is something you got to be consistent with. You do it over and over and over and over and over and over. Dave and I still do this. Dave has a book that's a whole list of confessions that he makes every day over himself, over our family, over our ministry, over our ministry partners. We confess good things over you. while we're teaching you to do it for yourself. This one is really special to me because I so much wanted to have somebody come and ask me to speak somewhere. And I was doing this little 25-person Bible study, and one of my confessions was I receive speaking engagements in person, by phone, and or by mail every day. And now that's a reality. And this one was really good. I am an obedient wife, and no rebellion operates in me. Dave was really glad I started confessing that. Oh, man, I had a mouth on me that wouldn't quit. No man was going to tell me what to do. No way, no how. And then I saw that wives adapt to your husband thing in the Bible. I finally got around to it, but it took a while. One of my confessions was, I am a teacher of the Word of God. My. This reminds me of so many men. I wish that you knew the condition I was in when I started doing this. I just wish that you could understand what the Word of God has done in my life. That's why I preach the Word with such fervency. I know that there's power inherent in the Word of God to change your life if you'll live by it, love it, speak it, confess it, meditate on it, and make it the main thing in your life. One of the things I said is that all my children are married to, they all are married to Christians. Well, none of them are married, and now they're all married to Christians. So praise the Lord. The Word works. The word that goes out of my mouth shall not return void, but it shall accomplish the thing that I send it to do. I remind myself of this every time I go out and preach a series of messages. I believe that the word that I'm speaking will accomplish something in your lives. I'm planting the word in the ground of your heart, and it is not going to return void. You are going to grow and change, and your lives are going to be better, and God is going to receive more glory from you. Begin to prophesy your future. So many amazing scriptures. Isaiah 46:10 says, declare the end from the beginning. Isaiah 42:9 says, old things have come to pass. I now declare new things before they happen. Whatever you want to see happen, you need to start talking about it as if it's already done. That's why I say on a regular basis, God is working in my life. I may not see it, but God is working. God is working in my children. God is working in the person I'm married to. God is working in my finances. God is working. And I think every time that you say that, maybe God adds another angel to our case to get a little more done. The Bible says that angels hearken to the word of God. We have angels assigned to us to help us in our life. Guardian angels. Angels that help us. Angels that assist us. Angels that protect us. But they don't hearken to complaining. Come on, some of you, your angels are so bored they don't know what to do. Put them to work. Say, okay, angels, it's time to get up. We're going to work. I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I lend to many nations. I never have to borrow. I'm a blessing everywhere that I go. God meets all of my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ. I walk in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. On and on and on and on. Ezekiel 37. You're getting a little fire stirred up in your belly now, I can tell. The first thing you got to do is go home now and do your homework. You got to get out your piece of paper. You say, well, I think I'll just buy that book you wrote, Judge Joyce, and just use your list. No, we've already put an end to the lazy thing. Yeah, you buy the book, Me and My Big Mouth, buy it. If we run out, order it. You can use the list as a sample, but do your own homework. Write down the things that you know that you need, the things that you want to see changed in your life and your family. Put scripture after it and confess the word of God. The hand of the Lord was upon me, chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass round about among them, and behold, there were very many human bones in the open valley or plain, and behold, they were very dry bones. Dry bones. I feel like a bag of dry bones, God. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Oh, Lord, only you know. And again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I love it. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and I will bring flesh upon you, and I will cover you with skin, and I will put breath and spirit in you, and you dry bones shall live, and you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. And watch what happens in verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise, and behold, a shaking and a trembling and a rattling, and bones came together, bone to its bone. And then he goes on all the way through verse 10. And all of a sudden, those dry bones stood up on their feet, a mighty host full of the Spirit of God. I don't care how many dead dry bones you've got in your life. Everything in your life could look like dead, dry bones. But if you begin to prophesy to those bones, the word of God, there's power in your mouth. Amen? So you can affect your future by how you talk about yourself. You can affect your future by how you talk about your future. How you talk when you're in trouble, when you're having a trial or a tribulation, has a lot to do with your future. When Jesus was coming into the time of the crucifixion, he told his disciples, this is recorded in John 14, the time that I told you about is at hand. And he said to them, I'm not going to be talking with you much more. I think that's interesting. It's John 14, 30. I'm not going to be talking with you much more. Why would he say something like that? In Isaiah 53, it says, like a lamb led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. What's that all about? I never understood that until I understood this. Even Jesus, when he was in a time of intense pain, he chose to just not say anything. You know why? Because many times when we're hurting, if we open our mouth at all, we're likely to say the wrong thing. So don't do what you normally do. As soon as you have a problem, run to the phone. Now you are just not going to believe. It's happened all over again. I'm telling you what, every time I get a penny, the devil takes it. I am so sick and tired, sick and tired, sick and tired, sick and tired. I hate my life. What do you think I should do, Mabel? Why don't you stop asking somebody that don't even know what they should do, what you should do? Go get a hold of God. Now I'm going to shut my mouth and not say anything unless I can say something good. Just choose sometimes to be quiet. Amen? And don't we, when we have trouble, we just want to tell it, talk about it. I mean, if I said to you, today I will hang around after the meeting and you can just come tell me all your troubles. Oh my gosh. I wonder how many would be wise enough to say, you know what, Joyce? I don't have anything to say. I'll just let you go ahead and go home. I'm blessed. Woo! That would be big, wouldn't it? Well, another thing that affects your future is keeping your word. If we're going to be word people, then we need to believe the word, speak the word, and we need to keep our word like God keeps his word. If you tell somebody you're going to call them tomorrow, call them tomorrow. And if you can't call them tomorrow, you have somebody call them and tell them you can't call them tomorrow. And if you can't do any of that, then as soon as you can call them, you call them and tell them why you didn't call them on time. If you tell your kids you're going to do something, do it. Keep your word. Keep your commitments. Actually, and I wish I had time for all this, but I don't. In Ecclesiastes 5, it says, if we don't keep our commitments and the vows that we make to God, He will destroy the work of our hands. It's so important. And today it's so hard to find people that do what they tell you they're going to do. How many of you realize that's just becoming a rampant problem? Well, it can't be a problem with us. Our words also affect the future of our relationships. Many people are divorced today simply because of wrong words spoken or right words not spoken. Let me tell you something. If your marriage is in a rocky place right now, I believe if you will go home and by faith start saying right things, you can see that thing turn around. But you better clap louder than that. I don't want to stay here too long. Well, bless God, He never says anything good to me. I'm not saying anything good to Him. Oh, come on, don't be silly. You're the one that's supposed to be the spiritually mature one that has the word. Guess what? Whoever is the most spiritual does what's right first. Amen? Swallow your pride. Start finding some positive things to say. When nobody's home but you, you walk around your house and you say, I bless this home in the name of Jesus. I kick out the demon of strife. We're not going to have strife and bickering and arguing in this house. This is a house of peace. And you keep it up and keep it up. Don't let the devil steal your family. Don't let the devil steal your marriage. Don't let him steal your kids. Don't let him steal the knowledge of who you are in Christ. Don't let him steal your future by dumping garbage thoughts in your brain so you can just open your mouth and dump them out. Amen? Amen. Say something on purpose. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. But refuse, shut your mind against... And I'm going to add, shut your mouth against. Have nothing to do with trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questions. For you know that they foster strife and breed quarrels. It amazes me when I think back at the things that Dave and I used to argue about. I mean, some of the stupidest stuff. Who an actor was on TV. You've heard my stories. Dave thought everybody was Henry Fonda, and I got mad about it. That is not Henry Fonda. And you know, some of you don't know who Henry Fonda is, but you know. Or me trying to give him directions, trying to tell a man which way to get somewhere is totally useless. I mean, it's just like, I mean, I would say, well, where are you going? We're supposed to be going to the hardware store. I am going to the hardware store. No, you're not. How do you expect to get there this way? Come on, ladies, learn. I finally stopped it, and I'm still married. And you know what? I cannot even remember the last time that I got mad at Dave. And if you knew from where I came from, you would stand up and shout, "That is a miracle!" Don't make mountains out of molehills. Don't be a nagging wife. You know what the Bible says? It's better to live under a tin roof with a continual dripping of rain than in a house with a nagging woman. Oh, come on, guys. You ain't so perfect either. Well, I hope and pray that God has impacted your life, your spirit, with the understanding of how very important your words are. You're not going to leave here and never make a mistake. But you know what? When you do, God, send that angel again to cleanse my lips. Give me a fresh start. When you say something wrong to a person, apologize to them. Have enough spiritual maturity to say, you know what, I'm totally out of line. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't be talking like that. Will you forgive me? Be a good example to other people. Let's get out in the world and be bright lights, shining out for God in a dark place. Let's all stand up.